Welcome to Commander Central, episode 33. Today we're going to talk about Tutors, the most versatile card in EDH. You can use it to fetch up your Walking Ballista to combo with Mikaisi Unhallowed, or if that is not your style, you can use it to fetch your Triskelion to combo with your Mikaisi Unhallowed. Before then, we'll get to our usual topics, such as games we played, news, and social media. I am Dana.
I'm Max.
And I'm Chris.
And you shouldn't do either of those two things.
I was about to say something too. I'm like, wow, so much Mikaisi hate over here.
That was the common piece between both of those combos.
We're actually recording on a Wednesday. Like, seriously recording on a Wednesday.
Yeah, and it's beautiful outside today.
Yeah, it is.
Like, we've had nice days, but today's the day where it feels like spring. There's, like, people in shorts.
And it's just going to get worse.
Supposed to be snowy this weekend again, but
yeah,
I will
Wisconsin.
Still take it.
Yep.
First thing I want to mention, this is our 33rd episode, which I said at the start, but I would like to make a note here, because this is kind of it's not really an anniversary episode, but it's a milestone episode. Before this podcast, Max and I did another show called Commander Masterclass, which I don't even know if you can find online anymore. I think it's all gone. And we did 32 episodes of that. And Chris was actually on there at least once, I think.
Once for sure.
So we started this show, and this is episode 33, so we've now passed the previous show. This is 33 with Chris, and this is 65 for Max and I that have aired, not counting like practice ones and whatever.
I might have copies of those, though.
Oh, God, those were some awful, awful shows that we did for practice. So anyway, I just wanted to point that out, at least for us, because we care. That's kind of a big deal to have gone 33.
In a row?
Yeah.
No skips? That's good.
I don't think we did we? I think
nope. We've had an episode every week.
I think so, yeah. That's pretty
good.
Well,
I mean, yeah, we've had an episode every week, but it's not like we've recorded
week. Right, we've doubled up a couple, but.
And that one time where we had to record four in a row because of technical difficulties.
Yeah, that's never a good time.
I do remember that one. It was just like, oh, again, let's go get some food so we can do this.
So anything fun going on with anyone's personal life here?
I'm going to Star City Games Milwaukee next weekend.
You have back-to-backs on different weekends. You have Milwaukee.
Yes. And then I have one here local that is a win a trip to for GP Vegas.
So Milwaukee, I'm assuming, is Modern?
Yes.
Okay, and then the GP Vegas one is also Modern.
Yes, it is.
And that's a trip, like airfare and...
Yep, everything's paid except for if you're going to go to the GP, you got to pay for your entry fee and all that. But your hotel, airfare, all that's paid for.
So Max and I are going to GP Vegas anyway. We're just going to go.
Yep.
Chris was not going to go.
Nope.
But if you win the tournament.
My wife wasn't okay with me going to Vegas with the boys, which anyone who's married probably understands that.
That can be reasonable.
Then she hears about this tournament and it's a trip for two and she's like, okay, you have to practice and you have to win this tournament.
That's awesome. So maybe you'll be
maybe.
Going. We'll
see. It would be nice.
I'll be at that tournament too.
Yeah, we will for sure be there. I had a thing happen today at work. It's not necessarily that amazing, but so we have a storage room where we store like old computer equipment and stuff, and there's a couch in there in case you are working late at night and you need to take a nap the next day, or like you're there till 3 a.m. and you want to sleep for a couple hours and make sure everything's working when people come in, whatever. And I worked late last night, so at noon or eating lunch, I'm like, I need to go just sleep for, 20 minutes or half an hour or something. So I went in there and laid down, and it was dark. The lights are off. I just walked in the storage room and closed the door and laid down on the couch and fell asleep hard and woke up unsure of where I was with, like, our help desk guy poking me. He's like, Dana, I need my coat. Because he had tossed his coat on the couch when he came in the morning. I was just sleeping on his coat, and I don't know if he was going to lunch or what he was doing. He's like, you're on my coat. And I smacked him. I what is going on? Just go away. And he's like, you're on my coat. Just give me my coat. And then so I had to get up and give him his coat. And then I was awake then. I'm like, all right. Well. But there was like a 5-second window. I'm like, what is happening? Where am I? Who's poking me? What's going on? Well, that was my lunchtime today.
That's great.
I can see it in my mind.
Me too. At least you didn't punch the guy.
I didn't. I didn't have that kind of energy or ambition at the time.
So that's usually how when I get woken up when I'm in a a dead sleep, and all of a sudden like I snap open my eyes and I look. I'm just like,
same here.
So games we played this week. Max didn't play last night.
I did not.
Chris played a few games.
Not Commander.
Oh, you didn't. You were just playing a card game. You were in the store, but you weren't playing.
We were playing Phase 10, which I lost horrendously.
How far did you make it?
Until 2 a.m.
Yeah. I was at like 1,200 points at the end.
Did you get through all 10 phases?
I was on phase 9.
Oh.
But I skipped someone like 15 times in the game, so it's all good.
Is that like just the phase 10 version of Counterspell? Just you're done?
Yeah.
Nice.
Pretty much.
That doesn't sound fun, 15 consecutive times.
Well, it's like every time I got dealt a new hand, it was like I had two skips in my hand, and I'm just like, cool, I guess I'm skipping them again.
That's Counterspell on Issachar Scepter, basically. Is what
pretty
that
much.
the one thing I got to do was we had a guy who was playing Balin, Wanderer Knight.
Wandering Bard.
Wandering Knight, I think. Bard is Yasan.
Oh, well, he can do both.
Right, yeah, he can Bard and Knight. He can do both those things. And he had made a Sword of Light and Shadow on, and he made a copy of it with Sculpting Steel, I want to say.
Okay.
And then a second copy of it with Masterwork of Ingenuity. And I only had black creatures out, or black green creatures, or whatever it was. So I couldn't block. And he had, like, at that point, then Balin's at double strike, and he had some other stuff on him, too. But I did have a Vedalken Ori in play. And he goes, swing at me. And I said, you shouldn't swing at me. I may have a Maelstrom Pulse in hand. I'll just kill all your swords. He's like, whatever. I know, I got you. And he's like, I'll swing. That'll be like 30, you know, 9 commander damage. I'm like, all right, Maelstrom Pulse and instant speed. Targeting Sword of Light and Shadow. And
you warned him.
That felt good, blowing up 3 Swords of Light and Shadows with an instant speed Maelstrom Pulse.
Out of all the swords, it's the one sword I don't agree with people running.
In this case, I assume he just had all 5 swords in the deck.
Okay.
And that was the one he tutored up and copied because all 3 players... It hit everybody. It hit the other people. I was playing black-green, someone else was black-white, and the third player was black-something. So it covered everybody.
I think I would have gone for black-green because of the force discard and untap lands over black-white.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah. I don't know why he didn't. I think he had that sword or something, and then I don't remember what it was, but there was some reason he did that. But anyway, that was a fun, fun Maelstrom Pulse.
Oh, such a good card.
I did play a different game on Friday. I played a game of Flip It and Rip It.
Oh, yeah, you did. I got a text about that. There was because you survived it.
I survived it.
With a good card.
Yep, so our shop D20 here in Eau Claire has had boxes of the original Modern Masters for the last about 3 weeks.
And you've done pretty good.
And I've bought majority of those packs.
I bought one and pulled really good, too.
Yep. So on Friday, I stopped into the shop for something. I don't even know why I was there.
You and I went down there.
Oh, after we recorded, that's what we did. Okay. And I'm like, got suckered into buying one of the last 4 packs of the box. And a friend of ours was there. He's like, will you do it if we play Flip It and Rip It? I'm like, okay, sure. Why not?
Now, for those of you who don't know what Flip It and Rip It is, you open the pack, keep all the cards face down. You don't see any of the cards. Pull the token out. You shuffle the pack. Then the first card that you do is you flip it over.
Face up.
Face up onto the table. The next card, you rip and flip at the same time. So you rip the card right in half. So you have no clue what you're doing.
You don't know if it's your rare slot card, if it's your common. You don't know.
Or your foil in a master's pack.
Yep. So as you were saying, Max, I wanted to make sure we justified this or verified what it was.
We shuffle up, and I flip my first one. It's just a common. I'm like, okay, cool. He flips a common. I go to rip, and I couldn't rip it. I'm like, it's a foil, because foils are a little thicker. And I'm thinking, like, Goyf, foil Goyf, you know, foil, whatever big money cards in that set. It was an uncommon. Whatever. He ripped his second card, and it was an Engineered Explosives. he cried and ran out of the store.
I laughed because I thought it amusing.
And then I go to flip, and there's a Sword of Fire and Ice, and I'm like, well, I'm done. $100 worth of cards in 2 packs.
Yeah, nice.
One is ripped in half.
That would feel terrible. Tearing up the Engineered Explosives.
We tried taping it back together and putting it in a perfect fit sleeve into another sleeve, and you can definitely tell that it's not right.
It's
not playable. Now, in Commander or something like that, or a casual format, it would be playable, but in a competitive, constructive format, no way.
Well, that's what you get for playing Flip and Rip It. That's the risks.
Oh, it's such a fun game, though.
It was a high, man. I got jacked.
It's the magic Russian roulette. So how about social media this week? Since next week we'll get a bunch of people like, why are you playing Flip It with Modern Masters playing?
Oh, where do we want to start?
I will start with one that you guys are unaware of.
Okay.
Just for the fun of it, I was looking at something on iTunes, and we had like one feedback posting on iTunes. that I didn't even look to see how old it was, but I've never addressed it. And for some reason, it just made me laugh, and I wanted to read it. It was from a user, Better Music, and it just said, "Decent but not great podcast, 1 star." I was like, wow, all right, thanks, man. It was just, like, of all the things, decent but not great, then it gave us 1 star.
Thank you for the feedback.
Thanks, like, yeah, thanks, man, I guess. We appreciate that.
So we heard from @_Dylan. He says, "I really like your content and appreciate what you guys do. Keep making great stuff."
Well, that was a nice comment from Dylan. Yeah, appreciate that.
Yep. I also want to, I guess, we're going to shoot this out there, but I hear that a one old Commander Cookout is a year old today, I think.
Yes, they are.
They are. Congratulations, guys.
You're still going to lose, but yes, congratulations.
They are. I mean, like, you're still not going to be good at playing Atraxa, but you've succeeded in, like, going for a year. No, that's something.
I mean, I don't know how you play Magic up in Canada, but we're going to show you how we do it down here in the US of A.
You only play with 80 cards up there. That's Command. That's
play Command. It's the currency
rate. It's the currency exchange. Uh-huh. You only play with 80 cards.
Oh!
But you have 2 commanders?
Yeah, right, yeah. And they're all Justin Trudeau.
So, yeah, just I wanted to, you know, shoot that out there, let them know. Awesome at, you know, being a year old now.
They do a really good show.
Yeah,
they're worth listening to.
Great show. Give them a shout out.
And then we did a wonderful show, last week, about The Brawl.
Yes.
And all that I've seen and heard from everybody, whether it be on social media or in our local gaming group, no one seems to like
it. People do not seem to be down with The Brawl for the most part.
I'm okay with that.
I heard there's one guy, I do believe he was on... Was it YouTube?
I think so.
That said something about a garbage fire or something like that. So
we'll leave it at that. He was not pleased with Brawl as a format.
It's going to be interesting. Good luck.
I'm trying to think who I was. I've seen a couple people on Twitter that have been a little more positive, and it'll probably be fine. I think we're just thinking. I think we're not at all the target audience for it. It's supposed to be for a even more kitchen table-y than the average Commander player. I don't think people who listen to Magic podcasts are the target audience for it, so we're just not going to like it. That's fine.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't like it, and we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
If you want to hear my opinions, feel free to listen to our episode 32,
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anything else?
We'll bring this up because this was something we talked about last week too, but the Beckett Brass artist apparently used, I do believe it's his mother as inspiration or his grandmother.
One of the two. Somebody pointed that out to us.
Yep. I thought that was pretty interesting because we brought that up and someone decided to point that out.
Yeah.
Well, then I responded to it just because I happened to be reading an article like a half hour earlier that was about Therese Nielsen, the artist who did the original Force of Will. And she used herself as the model for the Force of Will because she was on a deadline when she got the art direction for the card. And she said, she wrote, like, "I didn't know anybody else who had abs but me, so I used myself for the model." So that's where the original Force of Will is, essentially. It's her posing and her abs, and she made it into a dude. But
yeah, so speaking of Therese Nielsen, I do believe that the art for Hannah Ship's Navigator was her daughter.
It's based on her daughter, yeah.
Yep.
She's used her daughter, I think, also for the new Force of Will. She used her daughter for reference for the new Force of Will. She did too.
Very interesting.
Man, I love her art. She's my favorite Magic
I wish she would be local, like somewhere local for a tournament, because I would go up there and get
I'd get so many cards signed by her. Yeah.
Yep.
There's so much good. I mean, what's cool, it's not just iconic cards. Like, there's so many cards that are like a random uncommon from Innistrad isn't even a good card, but the art is amazing because it's her art.
Or like Descendant's Path, a rare from Absinthe Restored, is an amazing.
Shattered Perception is in one of that Innistrad block sets. It's a great-looking red card that isn't particularly good, but her art on it's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
She's definitely in my top 3 for artists.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, amazing stuff from her.
I have quite a few that I like. But So, for everyone else who wants to reach us on social media, we have quite a few of them you can reach us out at. You can find us on Twitter @CMDRCentral, Facebook search us @CMDRCentral, YouTube search us @CMDRCentral, or find us online at cmdrcentral.com.
And we are on Patreon if you feel like you want to support the show. Find us on patreon.com by searching cmdrcentral. And we will be announcing some reworking to our rewards in next week's show.
Yeah, next week. And maybe some contest stuff next week or the week after. One of the two. All right. Let's talk tutors. So this wasn't planned or anything, but I think it was just last week I saw it was on one of the Command Zone episodes where Josh Lee Kwai was talking about how he's started running less tutors intentionally in decks. And then I saw a Reddit thread today in the EDH forum with a guy saying people need to run less tutors in Commander.
I read that too at lunch.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's kind of fortuitous. That's right there. I don't think there was any particularly great like arguments made in it either way, but I just thought it was interesting that we're doing this right now and there happened to be that Reddit thread going on and Command Zone happened to be talking about kind of the same thing. So first of all, I'll ask you guys, how often do you use tutors? Like, do you have any hard and fast rules? Do you go the CDH route and pack in as many as you can? Do you intentionally limit yourself? Is there anything you do, or does it depend on the deck? How do you do it?
I think it depends on the deck and my path to victory with it.
Okay.
So if it's a combo deck, I am going to slot in probably more tutors than an average, less competitive deck. So like Brago has two or three tutors in him, I think. And something like Jermoka only has one, I think.
I run a lot of tutors, but I'm a black player, black and red through and through.
So, and black is the tutor color for the most part.
And I only run four of the black tutors. I run Vampiric, Demonic, Diabolic, and then the new one, I can't remember the name of it now, the one out of the new Ixalan set.
Where you can go to your sideboard, but it's,
Pretty much another Diabolic tutor. Because I'm too poor to afford the... The other two mana tutor that's like really expensive. So,
well, and you've got what is there? Grim Tutor and Imperial Seal is at one, but I mean, that's worse than Vampiric. And Grim Tutor's not any better, I don't think, than Diabolic. But like some decks want to run every tutor possible.
Yeah,
there's also some stuff like when we're talking tutors here, we're specifically mostly referring to instant or sorcery speed spells that get you a card,
right?
But there's a lot of other stuff that kind of is a tutor. I mean, there's the cards with Transmute that let you get a card with the equal CMC. That's a tutor. I don't know if I'd call the fetch lands tutors, but stuff like Expedition Map that gets you any land.
Yep.
I mean, that's a tutor, I would say.
Your land fetchers like Sky Shroud Claim and Cultivate.
Even though they're ramp, they're getting you color fixing. I mean, they're just getting you mana, so I'm not sure if I would really count those. Because it's just getting you mana. They're not getting you... You can't get utility lands with them. Whereas if I got a utility land, I would maybe call it a tutor.
Okay.
It's a pretty flexible definition, I would say.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because like I was looking at, I went through all my deck lists and I was looking, and I wouldn't have counted Sky Shroud Claim in any of my decks as a tutor really, but I'm going to count Crop Rotation, which I'm running in my Edric deck, because that is in there almost exclusively to grab Gaia's Cradle. So in that case, I would call it a tutor because it's getting a specific card that's going to advance my board state versus just generically going to be a ramp spell.
Gotcha.
So there's a lot of flexibility here on tutors. I would say in looking at, I went through all my decks. So we renewed the show and I'm like, I'm just going to review my decks and see how many I'm running in case I'm remembering it incorrectly or not thinking about it. I think I found I averaged 2.5 tutors in my decks. And that's because I have a couple that don't really have any. And I've got a couple that have 4 or 5, depending on the deck. My Edric deck had 7. But again, I'm playing, trying to win.
I thought I was a lot with 6 in my Lesher deck.
Yeah, because there's Mystical Tutor, Merchant Scroll, Personal Tutor is in there, Long-Term Plans is in there.
Green Sun?
Green Sun is in there, Crop Rotation to get Gaia's Cradle, and Talaria West, because it will get me...
Dryad Arbor,
or Pact of Negation.
Mm-hmm.
Or Gaia's Cradle again?
Yep.
Or Gaia's Cradle, right. But that's a different deck. Like, I'm not playing that deck. I'm not playing against people for fun. If I'm playing most of my casual decks, I'm running a few less. Because tutors are kind of a cheat, right? It's a singleton format, but a tutor isn't a singleton. I mean, it gives you basically a duplicate of any card.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That isn't
definition.
Bad necessarily, no. But it does change the math a little bit on a deck.
That's true. But I'm not gonna say it's a cheat because
I didn't mean that in a negative way. I just kind of meant it's a workaround in a way of the rules. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. Because number one, games do have to end, and if you are going to get some combo piece on turn 14, that's just what it is. Like if people haven't developed a board state to handle whatever you're doing by that point in the game, it should just end. I think so. That's fine.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's been times when I've dropped a tutor on turn 1 to go for another land because I kept one land hand like a nincompoop.
Sure.
I've done that too. It happens.
Yeah, when you have the tutor in hand, like a vampiric tutor or something, and a one-land hand, but your hand's stacked otherwise, it's like, well, there, now I'm on two lands. I drop that signet down, and we're golden.
Yep.
In looking at my decks, I do have some situations like that Edric deck where it's usually trying to get a win condition, but most of the time in looking at them, I'm like, man, I'm using these tutors exclusively to either A, solve a problem, meaning somebody else has a doubling season in play, they're going to do something disgusting next turn and I need to have it gone, or I need to get a board wipe because I've done the disgusting thing on doubling season already and I need to kill everything. And the other one that I found, and I think we've mentioned this, at least Chris I know has, I get them to get ahead, like
yep.
that turn one vamp tutor to put that Phyrexian Arena on top so I can drop it on turn two or three and then have five or six or seven turns of drawing an extra card. That's usually what I use tutors for, is to get some kind of a card advantage engine going.
Yeah, I do basically the same. Like in Alesha, I'm running six tutors, but they're all specifically for certain things. Like I don't just waste them. I use them to find reaction spells or to advance my board state to the point where I can win a game.
Well, and there's so many times when I've seen that with both you two where you do your tutor and then the next turn Rhystic Study comes down or,
yep.
or the Rex yeah. Arena comes down or something comes down. I'm like, I know what you just went and got. And then same way for me, like I've done the same thing and Chris has been like, well, here comes Rex Arena next turn and here comes Rex Arena for sure.
Yep.
All right, so Chris said he liked black tutors mostly. So there is a difference in the colors and what they can do. We might as well briefly touch on that. I mean, most people kind of know, but we'll just refresh for people that don't, starting at white. White tutors mostly get artifacts and enchantments.
Yes, I can't really think of anything that tutors something else.
Dejeru gets planeswalkers.
Yeah.
And they've been adding that a little bit more because there was
Call the Gatewatch.
Call the Gatewatch recently as yep. well. So that seems to be now in white's part of the color pie.
Thalia's Lancers gets legendary creatures.
Yeah. And there's also Recruiter the Guard.
Yep.
Yeah, he gets a creature.
Recruiter the Guard gets a
yep.
gets a small creature.
Yep. With power. Now I don't even know because one of them's power, one's toughness, and I play both of these, and I feel like a fool right now not remembering.
I'm on it.
Max will find the information for us. And lately I've noticed too, white's tutors have even tended to be more specific. There's been a lot more equipment or aura versus just generic artifact or enchantment.
Recruiter of the Guard is toughness two or less. Imperial Recruiter is power two or
okay.
less.
Which kind of makes sense given the color breakdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll have to jump over into red next. Red doesn't really tutor very much at all. There's the Imperial Guard, Imperial Recruiter.
And Gamble.
And Gamble.
Gamble, yep.
Although I like it.
I don't like Gamble.
I always discard what I went for.
I don't run in any of my decks, but I'm always like, that's one mana. I guess it depends, maybe.
I mean, it's so situational. The reason I don't like it is even if I don't discard the card I go for, usually I end up losing something in my hand that I wish I could have kept.
And you're down two cards. You're spending yep. one mana. You're not down two. You're spending two to get one, which isn't necessarily great. The randomness makes a big difference, particularly in red where oftentimes your hand is pretty small.
Yep.
That can bite you. But it's one of your few options in mono red.
That is true.
So black does it all.
Yes, it does. Anything and everything. There's a few of them that are situational, though. Beseech the Queen.
Yep.
That's equal to the number of lands type of deal.
And you have to reveal it. That's usually the caveat. If it's for a specific thing, you have to show everyone what you're getting.
Yep.
In the case of Beseech the Queen, because it's tied to the number of lands you control, you have to reveal it, too. Most of the rest of black tutors, you just get to keep it a secret. And that's a big deal sometimes.
For all the listeners out there, whenever someone tutors, ask them what they got and see if they tell you.
There is so many times when like someone goes to grab a tutor with a black spell and Chris is like, so what'd you get? And people reveal it.
Yep. I've started doing that as well. It's a fun little table talk trick. And every now and then you catch someone.
And yep. even if you don't, it's funny. It's always good for a laugh. I was like, Chris was like, wait a minute. Wait, what?
and in multiplayer EDH, knowing what they got probably isn't going to make a big difference
probably
in gameplay.
Probably going to come down immediately anyway. Yeah.
Most right. of the time it's a board wipe or something like
or
that.
Or a Rhystic Study or an arena or their creature, a crater hoof or something like that.
Yep.
Moving on to green. Green pretty much gets creatures.
That's pretty much it.
And I mean the lands, I guess, if you want to count.
Yeah,
things, like
we could
hero
go
or
lands.
Crop rotation or whatever. But yeah, I can't think of anything else that it hits. And then blue will get you instants and sorceries.
Usually you have to reveal them, though.
Yep.
Yep.
And there's a couple artifact things in blue as well, but they're usually kind of like sacrifice an artifact to get an artifact, whether it's Tinker or Transmute Artifact.
Trinket Mage,
yep,
that kind of stuff where you still have to reveal them because they have to be the certain CMCs and right. stuff like that.
And long-term plans, which I mentioned before, which is anything. That might be the only tutor outside of black where you don't have to reveal it because it can be any card, but it goes three down
yep.
in your library.
Very interesting.
I actually like that card. I like long-term plans.
I do, too. If you have a good draw engine, it's awesome. If
yeah.
you don't, then
there's
I'm
a
not
lot,
so sure
there's
about
a lot
that.
That can happen in three
yep.
turns. Okay, so Chris mentioned liking Demonic Tutor particularly, and I think everyone probably kind of does. Number one, it's like the original tutor. That's like the first tutor in the game. That was the one there. It's the most efficiently costed one.
And it's probably the easiest one to get your hands on that does the most powerful.
Yes.
It's relatively inexpensive.
Yeah, I think Vamp is still more, even though it had the reprint in...
It's still like $40-some, and Demonic's only like 20-something.
Vamp is over 50 for both
really?
Printings. Yeah, I looked at a friend's deck list of the decks cards he needed on Friday at the shop, and... He was pulling prices from MTG Goldfish, and the Visions one was like at 48, and the Eternal Masters one is over 50.
Man.
Just traded my Visions one away. No, it wasn't Visions. It was Mirage, because it's got the palm tree, doesn't it?
No.
Just Visions.
Man. Is it Visions?
I think it was
and sixth edition.
Sixth edition, yeah. There's a white border one, too.
Yeah, I just traded away my Vampiric for a couple
of
Misty
Rainforests. They're now down to like 40 and 42.
That's still a lot, though, because it was down to 19... It was just under 20 when it got when the first reprint
yep.
came out. But I mean, it can go in any black deck.
Yep.
So yeah, Demonic.
And it's instant speed that you don't have to reveal.
Right.
Yep. It now screws your draw up, though. That's why I don't like it.
People forget that. Like, because I've had this argument with somebody before who's like, you know, I need to get one tutor. I'm going to get a Vamp tutor. I'm like, well, I'd get a Demonic before I get a Vamp. Like, it's, you know, instant speed and it's one mana. I'm like, yeah, but it is an instant speed. I mean, okay, occasionally you have a draw outlet so you can do it and draw it immediately or do it before the end of someone's turn. So I guess it seems like it's instantly
yep.
to your hand, but it costs you that draw. And that's
And two life.
The two life is in Commander means a lot less maybe than it did in Standard, but...
Especially on turn one.
Right. But trading losing a card, essentially, again, we mentioned that in Gamble, you're using Gamble and you're discarding a card to get one.
Yep.
Vamp Tutor's the same thing. You're losing the top card of your library and the Vamp Tutor to get one.
That's why usually when I use Vamp Tutor, it is for a card that I need on the next turn.
Not that it isn't great, it still is, but
yep.
like given the choice, I would probably take Demonic way more often than I would take Vamp.
Same here. Demonic just is more flexible, in my opinion.
And the two mana makes a difference. The difference between Demonic and Diabolic, between two and four, is really very frequently the difference between casting the spell that turn and not casting it that turn.
Yep.
So, I mean, there is a difference there, but yeah. So what other ones specifically jump out at you guys, whether they're like favorites or ones that you just like or dislike running, like that you think may be overrated?
There is one that I've always wanted to run. So a mono blue tutor called Distant Memories, where you tutor any card out of your deck. Don't show your opponents, exile it. Now any opponent may let you draw three cards or give you that card.
And we talked about that in the show at one point in time. You brought it up as something,
yep.
but you've never actually tried it in a deck.
No, I have not.
Do you have any blue decks active right now?
I don't. I'm currently building one that you guys aren't going to like, but I am currently building one.
What are you building?
I am building Nin the Pain Artist combo.
Oh, man. Well, try
now,
the Nin.
I'm building it as a 1v1 deck,
okay.
so it won't be like...
Nin's a good commander.
Yes. So it's mainly for 1v1, but I will be trying it out against you guys, because if I can beat four people, I should be able to beat one person.
You should... try it in Brago maybe or something just to try it. I'm just curious how it plays. Or I can try it in Talrand.
Yeah, it would be really cool.
I'm kind of curious as
I'm just reading the rules text on it. It is two generic and two blue. The card is exiled face up, so everybody gets to see it.
It is face up.
Yep. I was wondering if it was face up or face down. And in multiplayer formats, your opponents each may make the decision in turn order. That's interesting.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a good politics card. I mean, it is a commander card through and through.
Yes, even though it was designed well before
yep,
it was big, but...
Yeah, you got to think like, okay, so if I'm sitting there and the guy who has next priority in line for me, we're both falling short on the table, and say there's a Gave player who's like player four, and he's just going off, and I'm like, well, I'll play this, reveal Cyclonic Rift.
Right.
And you're like...
I'll let you take that.
Yeah.
Right.
Overload Rift, get rid of all that.
Yeah, no, I like that.
Yep.
So we'll have to try. If you have an experience out there, anybody who's used that card, let us know. If not, we'll see if we can get it in a deck and give it a go, too, because I'm curious how it plays.
Oh, my main man Venzer's in the art, too.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And Urza.
I will then mention, since Chris mentioned that, that I had a Riku deck years ago. Riku with the Twin Reflections.
I remember that deck.
And it never worked right, or the way I had it built wasn't right. But one card I ran in the deck when I was just looking for cards to fit the color was Guided Passage, which is blue, red, and green. So it's 3 mana out of Apocalypse. It's a sorcery. And it's kind of a backwards tutor. So you reveal your library to an opponent, and they choose from among them a creature card, a land, and a non-creature non-land, and give you those cards right in your hand. So first of all, it's 3 mana to get 3 cards. And if you're building halfway decent, the worst land, you're going to even... So let's say they give you a basic.
Yep.
The worst creature in your deck, and they even... That's probably going to be a decent creature, or why is it in your deck? It's not going to be like a vanilla 2/2. It's going to be something that does a thing, probably. And then your worst non-land, non-creature is going to be...
A mana rock?
Or a removal spell or something. So 3 mana... Let's say they give you a mana rock. You're going to get a mana rock, a basic land, and your worst creature for 3 mana straight to your hand.
Yeah.
That's ridiculously efficient. Now, the problem is it only works in a deck that can run those colors. But, like, I'm surprised it isn't popping up in 5-color dragon decks or something. The worst dragon in your 5-color Ur-Dragon deck? It's worth 3 mana to get the worst dragon in your 5-color Ur-Dragon deck, probably, let alone a land.
It should go in Ramos.
Yeah, right.
Now you're on top of it. You're getting 3 counters on Ramos.
Right.
I think the reason why people probably don't play that card is because of the hemming and hawing and the time that it takes your opponent to go through your deck.
I would guess they just don't know it exists.
That could be too.
It's never had a reprint. So I would guess that they just don't even know it's a card.
And I agree with Chris's point. I see it taking a lot of time, especially because think about when you that pivotal factor fiction and you hand that pile to someone, they show the table because they're like, oh, crap, what do I do here?
This is kind of the same thing. Like,
I am a player, though, when Factor Fiction hits the table, I will not tell a player
until
how to separate it.
Yeah.
Once they separate and hand it to you, then I'll be like, I would have done it different.
You are an embarrassment to the game. How could you split it?
This is Factor Fiction with 75 cards
if you play it by
turn 7 or 8.
Or you play with this one nice little guy that I know who just gives you all 5.
Does the 5-0s.
Yep. He doesn't even look at the card. He's just like, yeah, 5-0. You can just have them all.
always irritates me.
It does me,
even
too.
Even if I'm getting all 5 cards, I'm like, don't do it that way, man. All right, any
best
other
card
ones?
Best card draw spell in Magic. 4 mana for 5 cards. Yeah.
In that case, it absolutely is. So any other ones that jump out as tutors you like or dislike?
I have one that I don't think is on the list. And it's a conditional tutor, Tamiyo's Journal.
So you used to be, so I'm curious
why I did. Okay, so I used to, and Chris is smacking his face. I used to be a huge Tamiyo Journal hype guy. I took it out of the one deck I had it in and then swapped it with the Immortal Sun, which has done way more work from the get-go. The interesting part about Tamiyo's Journal is you can sack 3 clues and tutor anything you want, put it in your hand.
And it's colorless.
And it's colorless, so in decks that don't have any tutors. So like in my Dromoka deck, I don't have many tutors that don't make me reveal something.
Yep.
It was a cool thing to do because people usually let the clues build up and they didn't really care. I just find it's really interesting because if you're playing something like, what's the guy from Shadows Over Innistrad?
Jace.
No, that makes the clue tokens when he makes the land.
Tireless Tracker.
I mean, if you run Tamiyo's Journal and Tireless Tracker.
Audric.
Jesus Christ.
I'm just going to start throwing names out there. You know, we've already got them, so just don't start naming names.
You know, you're making clues with Tireless Tracker. You're making clues off the journal. If you have a way to untap it more than once a turn, you're tutoring a lot for essentially free.
Now, is Tamiyo's Journal legendary?
Mayor of Abrook.
Yes.
Do you run that in Recce?
I don't. It was in the first iteration of the deck. But I have enough draw that I don't really need the clue thing. And at 5 mana, it was just too much to...
Okay, I was just curious about that because it is legendary and it could give you a tutor in mono green for anything.
I think I played it 3 times in the first, you know, whatever it was, I had the deck out. And all 3 times I was like, I don't want that.
Yep.
So it was never something I wanted at that point in time in the game. I still think it's a decent card in mono white or or maybe Mono Red yep. or Boros. Except for, I'll say this, I'm not running it in my Dejero deck.
I don't think I would neither in Jeru.
So, I think it's, I think it's a decent card, but I think yep. it doesn't quite maybe make the cut.
And
anymore.
That's what I'm finding is it just doesn't make the cut anymore with the newer cards that come out.
Okay, I'm gonna name one, and everyone's gonna hate me for this because 90% of players that I see who build decks that run tutors run this tutor. Beseech the Queen is not a good tutor.
So I agree with you, except for I had one response from somebody who said the one reason they run it is they have a very slow deck, and Beseech the Queen is the tutor that they can use on turn 3 in mono black to grab Toxic Deluge and do a board wipe. So like because you can cast it
okay.
on three with 3 mana on turn 3 very consistently in a black deck, you can go and get something like Deluge or go get Damnation for next turn because that in that deck they always wanted to be wiping the board whenever possible on turn 3 or 4 to then even everything up so then their slow deck okay. could catch
I will
up.
Retract my statement.
But I agree.
But I'm gonna change this up. Beseech the Queen is not good in anything other than a mono black deck.
Or if you're running like every single tutor, because yeah. I would there's 5 or 6 tutors I would run before Beseech the Queen. Because
you are limited to the mono lands you have.
Right.
Secondly, you have to reveal the card.
Right.
And half the time, I mean, yeah, you could do it on turn 3, but if you're playing a multicolor deck, you're probably casting it for, you know, 2 colorless and 2 black.
It soaks up your turn.
When you could
part.
Be playing Diabolic Tutor yep. or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah, I would run Diabolic for the most part over it. I would run definitely Vamp, definitely Demonic, yep. definitely a couple of the expensive ones, maybe even the Origins one where you get 3 black mana back.
Dark Petition.
But in that narrow situation, there's a couple ones where you either I want every tutor for combo or I want it because I want to be able to board wipe early.
I do appreciate
I
that you
that.
Explained that to me with that. For that, for mono black, that does yeah. make sense then.
I think I can't remember who that was that told me that, but we had a conversation. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. I can see
yes.
that. Because I made the same exact points you made.
Yep.
I discovered this because I was talking about my Recce deck. I can't remember when this was. With some people online because I was thinking about cutting Scrying Sheets, which is a land that you reveal the top card, and if it's a snow
permanent,
you put it into your hand. If not, it doesn't do anything.
Yep.
And I've got a bunch of snow lands in there and a couple other snow things. So there's an okay chance I'll hit something. But I've just discovered lately that in that deck, I just don't have mana.
You don't have free stuff.
I'm doing a bunch of stuff. I just don't have mana free. So then we've hit so normally, okay, you'd say no big deal. But being a mono green deck, I've got a bunch of doublers in there, whether it's Vorinclex or Vernal Bloom or Extra Planar Lens. And having that colorless land there, it's one less thing I can double off from. So if I'm not like using it very often, I want to pull it out. So anyway, long way of saying, we're looking at my deck, and someone's like, "How come you don't run any green tutors in this deck?"
They're not legendary.
Well, they're not legendary, but like I think I don't run. I run Green Sun Zenith in my Edric deck because it gets Dryad Arbor, but like I don't run green creature tutors in any of my decks. And so I'm like, okay, well, why is that? And I looked at my decks. I'm like, I don't run. A lot of good creatures. I tend to like not run. I do.
You don't have Crater Hoof. You don't
right.
have the big beaters.
There isn't a Vendor of Zendikar in my Landfall deck, but like in that deck, it isn't any better than anything else for the most part. So like I felt like, huh? Looking at my decks, I realized there's never a situation where one particular creature does a thing for me. So I just don't run green creature tutors. I don't think they're bad. I just realized I don't run them because I don't need them.
I run. One green creature tutor, and that is in my Ural deck for this one reason, and that is to search up an Enchantress. The
Being
only
able to
reason.
Get the engine going is
yep.
a big deal. That makes sense.
It gives yeah. you another option to find them faster.
Yeah. No, that makes sense completely. So those are the notes I had about tutors. Anything else before we move on to the next? Because I would say, Max, I don't see you run less tutors than
probably,
Chris and I probably do.
Yeah. I 100% agree with
is
that.
Is there any particular reason for that, or is it just one of those things when you make your deck, it works out that way?
When I make my deck, it works out that way, and the decks I have, like, I put a Diabolic Tutor in, or a Demonic Tutor in Crash, and a Vamp Tutor is in there. Brago has the Mystical, Enlightened, you know, all the tutors for my instants and sorceries to put the lock in place. Dromoka doesn't have any because I'd rather use that mana just drop the big beater flying creature versus tutoring up something. I used to run Elodomri's Call in that deck.
Yep.
Because it was a 2-mana instant speed creature tutor that put it in my hand, where most green creature tutors put it on the top of your deck.
Right.
Are sometimes into play with a condition. But it was fun, but when all your creatures are 4 or 5 drops and you're tutoring them up on turn 2, you can't do much with it.
Right.
So,
and you're maybe better off in that deck just running a draw spell and drawing a handful of cards.
Yes.
And when all of your creatures are, it's kind of the opposite thing as mine. When all of your creatures are relatively good, you maybe don't care which one you get as long as you get it and some other gas.
Yep. That's exactly where that deck has gone since pulling that card, is all the creatures are pretty much the same in power and toughness, and they all do about the same stuff. I just need 2 or 3 of them to stick on the board for me to be a threat
right.
at all times.
So, how do you deal with tutors?
Just let them go off.
Yep.
So there are lots of ways of dealing with tutors.
So the first thing that popped that I was like, okay, I was thinking about this, and Stranglehold is a card that exists. You can't search your library. But man, I guess there's an Obnixilus that does 10 damage if you search your library as well.
Yeah, and then someone plays this green creature and makes you search for lands and kills you.
Fertilid Obnix. That's a good combo. But like, I can't think of, I mean, it's been years since I've seen someone cast a Stranglehold.
I saw it in 1v1 a lot.
I was going to say, aside from 1v1, yeah. I haven't seen it.
And even there, it's not even so much about preventing tutoring as it is a combo piece to yep. go with.
Maryland of the Morn yeah. Song.
It's like it's for serving a little bit different purpose there.
Yep. It's a meta card, not a,
right.
not a, it's a good card. It's just for the meta.
Because no. I was kind of putting together the rough outline of a mono red Martin Stromgall deck this week. And so doing show notes, I'm like, oh, maybe I'll put Stranglehold in there. So I put it in my rough breakdown of the deck. And even just going through the cut from like 130 to 120 cards, I'm like, Stranglehold, I just don't, there's no way I'm going to put it in this deck. There's too much other fun stuff I want to run. That isn't fun.
Yeah, I do believe in mono red. I actually think it's not good. Because mono red has an agenda of killing your opponents fast with either little creatures or big flying dragons or burning them out. Whereas you're taking a turn off to drop that, it's just like...
Right. There's enough other stuff I want to accomplish. There's also probably enough games where, you know, if everyone's only running 2 or 3 tutors, you literally generally might not see a tutor that matters. I mean, I guess in that case, you're shutting off fetch lands too, and so it's probably always going to stop
you
something.
You might as well just play Blood Sun
right,
over
right,
that if
right.
you're going to do
Moon
that.
Blood Moon at that point.
Yeah.
Yep.
So this is one I've heard you guys say, but I think we might as well mention it. How about countering the tutor versus countering what they go to get?
Oh, the classic mistake of countering the tutor.
I somewhat disagree.
Really?
It depends the tutor.
And it depends on the deck.
And the state of the game. Like, if you're going to Vampiric Tutor on, you know, turn 3 through 5 to get that Phyrexian Arena or something, I'm going to let you... I know that's what you're going for, and I'm probably even going to let that Phyrexian Arena resolve. But if you're late game and you're going for that final combo piece to end the game, even though everybody's still in it, I might just counter the tutor just to make sure you can't go get that piece versus worrying about what you got.
Okay.
The one reason I would, I know what Max is saying, because this happened to me a couple months back, but I did that. Someone tutored up, because I had a good board presence in with my Sphinx deck, and I had a counter spell in hand. And someone tutored up something, and I'm like, they're going for a, you know, board wipe of some sort, Wrath of God or whatever it was. This might have even been Max. So they tutored up something, and I'm like, I'll wait on the spell, because make them spend mana on the tutor and then spend mana on the spell, and they cast Supreme Verdict.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, I should have seen that coming, but I didn't. That
yes, I can
see. Then I couldn't counter it. So I'm like, okay, for future reference, it makes sense to counter the spell, not the tutor, but also make sure, because some colors don't have the ability yep. to not be countered, and so you can kind of figure out, if it's a white-green deck, the odds of them having something you can't counter are pretty slim, but white blue's got a few of those spells.
Yep.
Yes.
So anyway, that was my like lesson learned about that, is don't just blanket
right.
assume that you hit the spell, not the tutor. But yes, I would agree. More often than not, hit the spell they get, not the tutor.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I'm in the same boat. 90% of the time, you counter what they get and let the tutor resolve. But that 10% of the time, you should probably be aware of what colors they're playing. Because, like Dana said, you can't counter Supreme Verdict.
And that is why I recommend people, if you're going to run counter spells, you should run cards like Unsubstantiate that don't actually counter.
Removes them from the stack.
Just puts it back in their hand. Just, oh, Supreme Verdict, that's cute. Put it back in your hand.
I'm a fan of delay for that reason. Cause
yep.
Because it two mana and it puts it to a time when it's not very useful.
Yep. That's just us being Commander players, though, thinking of all the ins and outs and the ways to kind of cheat through the rules of certain cards.
Right. Okay, so we've seen a couple weird tutor things in the last few years. We had the one that Chris mentioned, whose name we didn't even say, that was in
things like Dark Inquiry or something.
Yeah,
like that.
where you can go to the sideboard as an option to get
yep.
something as well, which doesn't really affect Commander, but at least that's kind of a weird thing that they've stapled onto basically what's Diabolic Tutor.
Yep.
And then Dark Intent. No, why did I just
dark
we just mentioned
Dark
it.
Petition.
Dark Petition. Where you get three mana back. So essentially, if you have five to cast it, it winds up being a Demonic Tutor.
Yep.
So they've started doing a little more creative stuff, or they've given, like we said, White has started doing more equipment and aura tutoring than things like that. Is there anything you'd like to see them do differently with tutors, whether it's adding more or changing how they work? I guess it's kind of an open-end question, but...
I guess seeing that we just went through this tribal resurgence with Commander 17 and Ixalan, it'd be cool if we saw some tribal tutors, like go tutor X amount of vampires or go tutor.
We did see that.
Did we?
They're all creature-based tutors.
Was it dinosaur ones we saw a couple of?
I think there was dinosaur tutors. There's a vampire tutor. I don't know if there was a pirate tutor, but I know for sure there was dinosaur and vampire, but they were staple on creature. You tutor up that type of creature and put it on top of your library.
Okay.
And that's going back. There was Lorwyn also had a few of those, I believe, for Merfolk and...
Kithkin?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then Goblin Matron might be the first one that did that, where you put X amount of goblins on the top
yep.
of your library or something. You mentioned not liking it, but like I think Gamble has a built-in road, like it by default, because you have to pitch a card at random, that immediately hampers the power level of Gamble.
Yep.
I think they could do that kind of thing. That feels very red as well.
Yep.
If they want to give red a few tutor options, I think something like the Gamble effect on something keeps it safe, but it gives you the option in red to run tutors without it being too powerful.
Yeah, for a standard format, I don't really want to see tutors too much. I mean, because when they print them, they're usually like sideboard tutors. Like they just printed the one in Shadows over Innistrad or whatever that lets you go into a card outside of the game that's an Eldrazi card and put it into your
right.
hand.
Right, which was usually used to grab something that was exiled with the
yep.
was a Devourer.
Yeah, you can go for that, or you can go into your cyber for Emrakul, the Promised End, or
pull
something
from the
like that.
Blind Eternities, is that what the card
yeah,
was?
Yeah, something like that. Which, when they reprint new tutors, it seems what they do. So it's not really helps us as Commander players.
Right. Although I think we have enough. I don't think we need more tutors
no.
in Commander.
No,
I would love to see Transmute come back.
Transmute is, again, like we mentioned with Gamble, Transmute has some built-in roadblocks to it where you're limited to the CMC, the card. And I use Teleri West a lot.
Yep. Well, between Teleri West,
Muddle is really good too.
There's a blue-black creature who has fear. I think whenever he deals damage or something, you draw a card or something like that. But he has Transmute as well, all from like Ravnica era. Stuff like that where you have double versatility. You could cast it as a creature. You could transmute it. You could counterspell with Muddle, or you could transmute it. Or I've seen people play Teleri West as a land.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what's great about Teleri West. I've kind of discovered if I'm playing blue and I have any lands worth getting, I run Teleri West.
Yep.
I mean, if I've got a blue-black deck, so I'm running Cabal Coffers, it's a two-color deck, I've got Teleri West, so I can grab either Coffers or Urborg, or Nick Thos, I've got a bunch of stuff in play that's going to make me a bunch of mana off mana symbols in play. So, yeah, Teleri West is great.
Yeah, I like the versatility of Transmute. I would love to see that make a
mm-hmm.
resurgence.
I've seen those combo decks where they have every Transmute card just for the tutor for whatever combo piece they have too.
All 15 of them.
There's a lot of them.
That's what my Loro deck's turning into. Me and my partner are discussing it, and he's going to change his deck to Lavinia of the Tenth.
Yeah.
And he's just going to lock the game out, and I'm going to play a Loro Toolbox. And I'm running all the Transmute, all the legal tutors, and that's what we're going to do. And I'm just going to go for whatever we need something. Oh, let's go for this.
That sounds miserable. But it'll be good in like competitive. That
yes.
makes sense. Absolutely. Expedition map I was thinking of too. Like, I like that on an artifact because you can run it in a lot of decks. I run Expedition map in a lot of my decks.
The new Expedition map, was that any land or is it just a basic?
I believe it was just a basic.
It is just a basic.
What's good about X map is it's any land.
Yep.
So you can run it to get whatever important land your deck needs to run. Like, I want it in my Djeru deck because it's a Mistfail Plains. It puts a card from your graveyard back in the bottom of your library. So I can put a Planeswalker that's been killed or that I've ulted or whatever back where I can tutor it with Djeru again.
Yep.
So like I want it in that deck because that land is really useful. And so is High Market to sacrifice Djeru to recast him.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm playing a deck with Cabal Coffers again, that's nice to have that Expedition map so I can get Cabal Coffers or get Urborg or get Nykthos or get...
Every time I see you play Expedition map in Glissa and you crack, I'm like, he's going for Cabal Coffers. And everyone's like, no, no. I'm like, no, he's going for
yeah,
Cabal Coffers.
Or Urborg if I have Coffers in hand that I haven't played yet. And I'm probably going to do it 3 or 4 more times over the course of the game to get different lands. I think I did that last night in the Glissa game. I played Expedition map a bunch of times.
People just don't listen. I try to explain to people when things go off. I'm like, you just got to listen to me, man. I know what's happening. Oh, no, that's not going to happen. And then it happens. You're like, told you.
All right. Any other last-minute tutor stuff you guys want to talk about here?
I have one that I was just thinking about, and I actually pulled it up because it's a very interesting one. And it's actually a creature by the name of Momorvig Simic Visionary.
You played a Momorvig deck for a week and a half at one point.
Now, Momorvig is a 3-colorless, green and blue, creature, 2/2 legendary. So he can be played as your general. He reads, whenever you play a green creature spell, you may search your library for a creature card and reveal it. If you do, shuffle your library and put that card on top of it. Now, second clause on him. Whenever you play a blue creature spell, reveal the top card of your library. If it's a creature card, you may put that card into your hand.
So you cast a Simic card.
You
resolve
tutor,
the green.
Yep, and then draw it. And he's built in. I find him very interesting. He didn't work out very well for me, but I still find him super interesting.
I think I've seen a lot of Momorvig lists that are really heavily combo-based.
Yes.
I don't think you were at all...
No, I was playing Elf Ball all the way.
Yeah, he's a cool one. We didn't even mention Sidisi, Brood Tyrant, who's a ridiculously good tutor for 5 mana.
Undead Vizier.
Undead Vizier.
You still got that Brood Tyrant on your mind, don't you?
I do.
That terrible
deck. Not working for me at all. I've seen a bunch of really good lists online, too. I think I wasn't building it right, but I've had the bad taste in my mouth, and I'm done. Undead Vizier, who for 5 mana comes into play with a 4/6 Death Touch body.
Yeah.
Assuming you sacrifice another creature, but pretty frequently you've got that Eternal Witness that's already done your thing, and you don't care if that Eternal Witness dies to... Let you tutor
or you
and
a mimic vat.
I was going to say mimic vat.
Or you want
like,
that Eternal Witness dead so you can
second.
Do a thing. Right. So, there's a lot of goods, whether they're attached to creatures. I mean, there's so many we didn't even touch on.
Yep.
So we're kind of curious what you guys all think. How many tutors do you run? What's the right amount? Is there too many? Do you get annoyed when you see too many? Let us know what you think. We gave you the social media coordinates earlier in the show, so use those and reach out. Anything else, guys?
I think I'm good.
Chris?
Not really. I want to poke the bear of Commander Cookout, but we'll let that slide for now.
For now.
Shots fired.
Pew, pew.
Pew, 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 pew.
All right. Until next week, I'm Dana.
I'm Max.
And I'm Chris.
Hit our theme song.